here's the question. In the print and packaging supply chain, how do we deliver new ideas and innovative practices to continually improve your profit, your brand, and your quality? Welcome to the Gamut Podcast, and I am your host, Jeff Collins, Director of Print Technologies for ID Alliance. We are a nonprofit global think tank serving the graphic communications industry with 12 offices strategically located around the world to better support our membership. You can support the Gamut Podcast and content like this by becoming a member at ID Alliance by going to www.idalliance.org. I would also like to thank Konica Minolta for sponsoring this podcast. They are a world leader in industrial and commercial printing and packaging solutions.
This is part two of our conversation with Victor Asacero. He is the market segment manager for packaging at EFI, and we are going to discuss some topics around corrugated inkjet single pass technology. Hello, Victor. Great to have you back again for our second part of our interview on the Gamut Podcast. Thanks.
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me. It's great to be here on your podcast. I really enjoyed the episodes that you had before, and now I'm in one of them. That's great.
I appreciate those kind comments, and great to have you back, like I said before. So we're going to touch a little deeper into color management and color expectations for corrugated inkjet single pass technology. And we talked about Nozomi and other solutions that are in the market. And we want to really ask the question, what are the right expectations for targeting quality standards? Whether you're a brand owner or a print buyer or a print service provider, packaging guy that's using the equipment. And we mentioned some of these really cool e-commerce companies that have multiple digital devices printing on corrugated, like Packlane, Boxmaker, and Precision Digital. And there are many others popping up after we had our conversation. Again, I jumped back on the internet, looked at LinkedIn, hit Google, and there's quite a lot of them out there and they're growing. So what should the quality expectations be? Are we looking at the capability of litho on a premium coated sheet like we have in specifications, similar to Grackle 2013 or our CRPC 6 and 7 or Fogra? What, talk to us a little bit about that and clarify reasonable expectations.
Today, all of the single pass presses or engines and corrugated, they all comply with an industry standard like Grackle or G7 gray scale or Fogra, which is basically ISO 12647-2. And even if you have just the CMYK inks, all of these devices, they have greater inks. There's an orange and then a violet. Some they have a green as well, which is good for the reproduction of spot colors. But from a quality standpoint, from a gamut volume, these are second to none. These are big enough. They have very nice reproducibility of the international standard. And what I see, what bothers me a little bit, is that a lot of the manufacturers, they always say, and I think that's also partly in the public, it's like offset quality.
Yep.
And that's where I'm a little bit, well, why do we have to set offset as a standard? And this might sound a little bit harsh, but if you look at the resolution that some presses have, the Nozomi has a 360 by 720 resolution, which is just a very good fit for that, let's say, space. But there are other presses with higher resolution. And if you compare them against offset, just because they have a 1200 by 1200 DPI, in my eyes, they actually print better than offset because they don't have that dot formation. They have a very clear, sharp, crisp line.
Right.
They have, it's a different quality. I would say in some areas, yes, that's offset quality, but in other areas, I would say they actually could exceed offset.
Exactly. And this is advantage. I mean, really, that's the advantage of inkjet is that, in products like the Nozomi, and I mentioned the solutions that I was working with at Packlane, we have that wide volume that you're talking about, that extended gamut past offset standards. and you can take advantage of that. And then you also have the flexibility if you have international standards and it does need to meet all set. If you have, you know, millions and millions, billions of pieces that are being printed on flexo, gravure, offset, and you need to conform to those, inkjet's not a problem, right?
Correct. Absolutely. And that is, I think, from a color management perspective, once you have calibrated the press, you have set it up to a standard like Graccol, and you confirm it, so you take a verification, you take the media veg, and you verify it against the specification, that is a repeatable, let's say, state. And if that, let's say, gets variation and it gets a little bit off, then you recalibrate the press to your standard, you verify it, you're good to go again. Right. And this is if you have an Indigo, if you have an Osomi, if you have a Barbaran, and they are also mixed environment, as you said, they have shuttle printers and everything. If you set the color management in place properly, then you get repeatable quality on the different devices. Obviously, if you have a multitude of different devices which have a multitude of different inks, then let's say matching specification like Graccol, I probably would say, is not the most difficult part. It gets a little bit more difficult where you have a little bit different color management, let's call it architecture, if you want to match spot colors on all of the devices in the same manner, because they have different capabilities of producing spot colors. That's like the master class, right? If you have different volumes of gamuts on different devices, you have a very clear reproduction of spot colors in the same manner in all devices. That's a little bit more complicated, but a specification, I would say that's like cookie cutting today. That should be no problem.
Let me throw in another question here on the subject of accuracy and consistency and third-party evaluation. So when I'm talking about these third-party certifications, we at Ideal Lines have the ISO PASS 15339 certification, and these are reference print conditions, essentially specifications for a wide range of different conditions that you find in the print industry. So we'll start off with, let's say, RPC1, and we're talking about newsprint, and then all the way up to RPC reference print condition number 7, which is a wider gamut than Graccol or Fogra. You know, it's really something that was put out there for extended gamut printing like that you find in inkjet and other processes. So these certifications, in particular, the one that I just mentioned, ISO PASS 15339, that's very, very specific, and it targets something that is useful for print buyers and brand owners to be able to communicate, and print service providers all to be on the same page as far as quality expectations for color accuracy and color consistency. And I want to know your view. EFI and other manufacturers have submitted for certifications like this, the digital press certification, several different devices, mostly the dry toner devices and some inkjet. And then, of course, on the ISO PASS 15339, we have HP as well as Fuji J Press and the Konica Minolta C6100 that have passed that. And I want to ask you about that specific, you know, color certification, third party, and how important are those for a manufacturer like EFI to be able to become certified, to be able to communicate to their buyers that it's a proven fact that these devices have a specific capability?
For us as a press manufacturer, I think these certifications, they are necessary. In one hand, it's part of the marketing because we want to get a quality label for a specific press that it complies to specific expectations. So you can say, hey, I have a Graccol specification, I have that ISO specification or ID Alliance. And then customers already know they will have no problems with that particular press in terms of accuracy and repeatability and so forth. So that's a very important piece. And we, as we are selling worldwide, we need to get basically all standards available, because in Europe, Grackle may be not the top priority, but it's Folkline in the US. There's no way around Grackle and that certification, which is also from an educational standpoint for customers, very valuable to go through a master's certification when they have the press, because that gives them the next level of understanding, implementation, and so forth. So I highly recommend that. What I want to say in terms of the certification, there are different levels, right? I think the J Press did the certification for...
They've done... So to make this simple to understand for our listeners, there's G7 master qualification, and there's three levels of tolerances. There's the gray scale tolerance, then we have a targeted, which is targeting a data space for just the solid cyan, magenta, yellow, and black, and the overprints. And of course, you need to conform to G7 gray balance and tonality aims. And then we have the ISO Pass 15339 certification, and that's the manufacturer. An EFI or an HP or a Konica Minolta or a Canon or a Heidelberg, whoever, then they submit that. So G7 Master and those levels are for the printers themselves to show, just like you had mentioned, it's to communicate that they have achieved a certain level of quality compliance on a variety of different equipment on their plant floor. And then we have the OEM, which is the ISO Pass 15339. Certification, which allows the buyers of equipment to evaluate, and it's a third party evaluation. And like you mentioned, there's Fogra, and then of course Grackle G7, ID Alliance, and it's buyers' confidence. And if they can do it, and it's proven, and it's all objective science. And those levels that you're talking about for ISO Pass 15339. There's different, if you can achieve all seven of the data sets, that's one, and that's from newsprint all the way up to the wide gamut, or it's called CRPC7. And if you can achieve all of those within those tolerances, and all that information's on ID Alliance's website as far as what you need to comply to. And it's also there for people that are, interested in equipment purchasing. They're doing their due diligence to find out process capability. They can see those tolerances. They're very accurate. Most everything is under a Deltia 2. So you have to pass not just the data set. You have to pass all the data sets all the way up to seven. And if you can pass all the way up to seven, it's called Master Elite. And then if you can pass 1 through 6, and that's all the way up to Grackle, that's the offset standard, then that's master level and so on. It doesn't mean that one is better. It just means that they are capable of going wider. So a Master Elite would be, it has a wider gamut than offset. And then, if we look at digital equipment, we have also a level of accuracy that conforms to proofing tolerances. So we have legacy certifications online at ID Alliance for proofing tolerances as well. So, we have the production certifications, and then we have proofing tolerances and proofing certifications. So they need to know, they can go check that out. And if people are still printing to legacy standards like Grackle 2006, it's all there on the website and can clarify a lot of misinformation that's out there in the industry as far as specifications and standards. And that happens, not just in ID Alliance's ballpark, but it also happens in other national and regional specifications and programs.
And I found it very interesting that you mentioned the legacy contract proofing certification. And I think today, in if we look at single pass, that's a very interesting topic, because hard copy proofing, like with the proofing systems, still in use. A lot of people have them, they leverage them, they are used to that type of quality, especially if there's conventional print connected to it. But with digital print, we have seen that it goes a little bit away if you have a digital printer like an Indigo or a toner device, because you can actually proof print on the production engine, right?
Oh yeah.
And now with single pass, I personally see in our customers both, right? I have the customers that have an Osomi press, they still have proofing, they leverage the proofing for the Osomi. Mm-hmm. And we have customers, they have proofing, but they don't use it for the Osomi because they just use a one-off proof in the production. We call it rush proof. Yeah. They just print on the board. It's a sense. Function. You just print out one board. It goes to the eject tray. That's your proof. That's your sample.
It's, you know, that's... It is very, very simple, and not to shoot contract proofing down. I mean, there's definitely a need for it, but the simplicity of it, and we see this in the digital toner. You mentioned the wet toner solution, which is Indigo, and there's others, a few others, and then we have the dry toner printing equipment. And many of them are supported by the Fiery servers and the color management's in play. Matter of fact, I was just at Canon last week, and we were able to achieve proofing tolerances within 15, 20 minutes using Fiery color profiler suite. And there's many others that can pull it off too, but it's very, you know, it's a widely used solution. And we were able to hit those proofing tolerances. And one of the things that the students asked was, well, is this a contract proofing system? And I said, look, the expectations need to be very, very clear on your side, just as much as the buyer's side, the people that you're providing the proofs to. You need to validate, or I would recommend, I don't say you need, I'd recommend that if you're going to use it as a proofing system, you must validate that it's accurate by quality control routine. So in the morning, in addition to a control strip, because a control strip's, you know, a very small set of patches, it's not evaluating all of the colors like you would if you were to use a TC1617 or IT874 to determine how, you know, that higher level of accuracy that's required for certification programs like ISO PASS 15339. You have to submit, you know, the larger patch set. Why? Because I can read a control strip and there may be certain things in that profile, or there may be variation on the press that are not showing on that patch set that could affect, you know, color accuracy. So the recommendation was print the larger set target and validate. It takes you 10 to 15 minutes to do that. And then you are absolutely sure that that is a proofing level proof off the machine on the same substrate that the printer is. And this is a heck of an added value to provide to clients. I mean, it's absolutely so quick. On a Nozomi, boom, as long as it takes to print that board out, as long as it's, you know, been verified with the software, which is all there, you know, within the solution, you have your color management control, you have your validation of the control strips, you can print the TC1617 or a test form to do all of that, right? And then it's on the board. It's on the, you're not printing off and trying to simulate the paper weight, or, you know, using color metric or absolute color metric or some sort of rendering tint like you do on a contract proofing system. And then, of course, it's much, much faster, right?
Exactly. And that's one of the points that I would love to see more people being conscious about. It's what expectation do I set, right? This is a proofing system, and then it has to be within the threshold. So it has to be tightly controlled. Every proof that comes off needs to have a control strip on. It needs a sticker that it complied to the thresholds. But if you have a production press, now people somehow think they don't need it. And that is, I think, not the right way to do it, because a production press needs to comply to certain thresholds as well. And I highly recommend whether they can build that into their, let's say, procedures. But start off a shift, get your press up and running, print your visual reference test form, verify that the control strip is to standard, and then start production. That piece every morning, every shift start, or maybe in between the shift, that not only it provides measurable, trackable objective values through the control strip, so you really know, oh, that job was on shift two on that day. Let me see the control strip values, and there you go. Oh, that was intolerance. It provides a high degree of confidence that if something comes up in terms of color, that you actually have something to show. And it's just that level of industrial production where I believe process control and verification need to be as clear as putting the paper in the feeder.
Absolutely. And and now we see technology like spectrophotometry and sensors and optics that are becoming less and less expensive to manufacture and better. And eventually, these activities that we need to teach for color control and color management, similar to teaching somebody how to load paper into a feeder correctly, are essentially becoming automated to where it's lights out. And the production personnel, the operators can then focus on other value add activities that can't be automated, ultimately impacting positively the profit margin and the bottom line. Wouldn't you agree?
If I could spec out a press, would certainly have in-like sensors, in-like spectrophotometers or inspection systems, which would be capable of doing all that by the push of a button. But because I don't want the press operator to be bothered with.
No.
For me, from a requirements perspective, that would be awesome to have a button just check press, check specification, and it just prints a technical form. It reads it in with the sensor, and it reports it out. That would be best if it would optimize it or recalibrate it back to a known state if needed. But this is more a cost, right? So if the demand from the market is higher, and the machines wouldn't be that stable as they are today because they are quite stable, I believe if customers would be willing to pay for an inline solution that does everything like that, I would say that is the next level, because then color gets like not really a second thought, but it's automated. Yes. So you don't need that personnel that, let's say, nannies all the different machines because it's a function of the machine itself. Well, and that would be awesome.
Can you imagine all the infighting within production and quality assurance that it would eliminate? Because what happens typically is, is it the press? Is it the file? Is it this? Well, we know right away that it's not the press. Okay. So we can problem solve and find root cause problem very, very quickly. And it was always the challenge is to communicate and educate people, to coach them. When I was in production, and it's check the press. Press. Is the press good? Yes, no. Green light, red light. And if it's not, then let's start there. Let's solve the problem at the press and then move up. And then, of course, with automated pre-flighting and all the tools that you have with Solutions Now. And we talked about this with Chris, is that we have many of these automated quality checks throughout the value stream or the process. Yep. And a lot of people fail to use them. They revert back to the old way of doing things, which is manual. Well, let's correct it on the rip. All right. And they'll start playing with curves. Well, that affects the entire workflow that all the other files are going through. And they said, well, that's what we need because the press has moved. Are you sure it's the press or is it the file? And sometimes it is the press, but we don't, it's really putting a Band-Aid on the root cause. You need to go back to the engine and baseline. And you have inline sensors that check that routinely and realign, and it's transparent to the users. That confidence would be oh Lord, I would, you know, we talk about this, like putting paper in. One of the things that, that cause color management issues is that people load the wrong or different substrate within the color management workflow. And the color management workflow is, it has been, conditioned or created for a totally different substrate. And then they, you know, what's wrong? Well, we've got everything in here. We haven't changed any of the settings, but it's the, you know, well, your substrates change. Oh, and it could be they load a totally different substrate. Everything looks the same. People take it out of the packages and put it into a rack. And then next thing you know, you pull down a set of 80, you know, and in the US, it's, you know, 80 pound text, for instance, or, you know, 116 GSM, and you pull the wrong weight in, you're in a rush. And now we have systems that can detect that there's a change in the paper according to the job settings. That's awesome. You know, alert the operator. Hey, you know, wrong thickness, bad. And an inkjet, that's a killer. And there, many of those, you know, stopgap measures or, you know, controls are in there to detect whether or not there's a different caliber paper or board going through, because if it's too close to the heads, you're going to have a disaster.
Yeah. And I think in the coming years, that level of automation and that integration of process control procedures, as you mentioned, this, there are tons of systems out there which are all very good. And we have one of our own, which is ColorGuard. That's really a check the press, just make it trackable that you know that it's not the press, because then you can troubleshoot everything else. And the press is the most expensive piece in the production floor, right? Yeah. So keep that stable, keep that tracked, and you know everything is good. And I think that will continue to get more automated. And then the efficiencies of these engines will go up as well. And I think then at that time, even more people will get into inkjet and single pass inkjet. I think it really will take off in the next couple of years.
You know, you mentioned a solution called ColorGuard. What can you tell me a little bit about that?
So ColorGuard is our cloud color management system, which basically works in collaboration with the Fiery. And IQ is our cloud portal where we have different instances. We have Fiery Verify, we have Navigator, and then we have ColorGuard. And ColorGuard is a system where you can set up control procedures. So you can say, that press with that material should be checked every Monday 8 o'clock. And then the system basically provides the Fiery with the right charts to be printed and opens a verification procedure. And then that machine in that certain condition gets checked and it gets basically tracked over time. So if you do that with all of your engines, then you really get like a comparable measure. What is the color performance of that machine? How many service events do you have? I mean, it's basically collecting data from the shop floor and making it visible. So in case you have two or three nosomies, maybe they are not on the same plant, they're on different plants, but then now you can compare them. Is the color performance equal, or do I have more problems on one press than on the other one? So just like collecting data, that's not only for color, for other instances as well, but color is one important piece. And then you can have these dashboards and see, okay, how is the color performance? And there are other companies that have that as well. But I think this is really something where people should look at, because that provides information into the production itself. And then you can take better decisions on how to change things or when does certain things occur.
Fantastic. Now, you guys have the EFI Connect show coming up here in 2020. And that solution will be on display there. As well, we're having the an ID Alliance G7 Certified Expert and Professional Training event that's running in conjunction with EFI Connect. And I just want to let our listeners know, again, That's at the EFI Worldwide Users Conference in Las Vegas. And the dates are January 23rd through the 24th, 2020 in Las Vegas, Nevada. I believe it's at, not 100% sure. It's at the Wynn Casino, right?
It's at the Wynn Casino, yes. It has been there for a long time. And it's a great, great, place. I'm sorry for that. It's a great place for that event. Been there a couple of times. And I think we had it more often as well with the G7 certification with Don Hutchinson, right?
Yeah, you had
it. I think it was last year already.
Right. Last year. And then just so our listeners know, the Connect Conference starts on January 21st and runs through the 24th. And then the G7 event is from, like I said before, the 23rd to the 24th. So get there a few days early, and then you can attend both, see all of the different products that EFI has on display there at the Connect Conference. So, Victor, again, man, thank you so much for sharing your experience, your knowledge, and talking about the OnePass technology and specific color management, quality assurance, quality control, ISO Pass 15339 certification. And again, I've had you on before, so this is part two, and I hope to have you on here in maybe 6 months, maybe after the EFI Connect conference. To have you on again. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Jeff, for having me. It was good to talk to you, and always happy to be on your podcast if there is a good topic, and I'm happy to share with your listeners. I think it's a great initiative from the ID Alliance to have that podcast. I'm really happy to be part of.
Excellent, man. Hey, take care.
Thank you, Jeff. All have right. A nice one.
Thanks for listening to the Gamut Podcast. If you have ideas, suggestions, or would like to join us or even sponsor future podcasts, simply email me at jcollins@idalliance.org. That's JCOLLINS@idalliance.org. Take care and have a productive day.